Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. It's a little toasty. You notice that, Jeffrey? It's a little toasty. You been out playing golf in this weather?
I did not play this weekend, but I played before that.
And you're someone who likes the heat.
Yes, I do. I thrive in it.
Do you thrive in 100?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You thrive in 100?
Oh, yeah. When everybody else is melting, I'm happy.
Well, everyone else is melting, and then yet cooler weathers will be coming our way later this week in time for football. So that's good.
Football, right? Weather, of course.
Football weather. Do you go through, you are going to be calling MUS games again.
Indeed. Right? We start Friday night at Bartlett.
Do you go through a trial run? You make sure the equipment's working? What do you
That will be happening at 1:30 this afternoon.
Really?
Yes.
You're heading over to MUS to make sure you got it all?
Well, no, we only need an internet connection, so we can check the equipment here.
All right. Anyway, college football bearing down upon us, NFL bearing down upon us, high school football bearing down upon us. All of that is fabulous. Today on the radio show, we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock, and we have our man in Washington, D.C., Charles Fishman Fish, on Friday, on Tuesday in the second hour as well. By the way, if you pick up your National Geographic, I don't know. Do you know where you get a National Geographic?
Can you still get them in airports? I think you can. I feel like I was in an airport and saw
one.
I
grew up in a household that had a whole bunch of National Geographics, and you'd keep National Geographics. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't be just like, it's not like a magazine that you get, and Time you wouldn't collect. Time magazine you'd get, you'd read it, you'd chuck it, right? And same with Newsweek. We got Time, we got Newsweek, but this is in the days of the magazines. But National Geographics, you kept. And so we'd have National Geographics, and then we'd also have our encyclopedia. Did you have an encyclopedia set growing up?
I did not. My grandmother did.
Your grandmother did.
Yes.
Did you? But you didn't have the internet growing up.
We got it when I was probably in...
If you were doing reports...
By the time I was in elementary school.
Oh, you were. Yeah. There was the internet. If you did a report in high school, were you doing your research on the internet?
Yeah.
Oh, you weren't going to the library and looking through the encyclopedias.
I mean, you still had to, a lot of the projects.
Primary sources.
Oh, well, a lot of the projects, required.
Right. More than just, yeah. Anyway, National Geographic still thriving, honestly. And the cover story in this, I don't even know, week, month, must be month, in this month's National Geographic, written by our man in Washington, D.C., Charles Fishman. So there you go. We'll talk to him about all manner of things. We may congratulate him on having the cover story in the National Geographic.
It is indeed a monthly.
It's a monthly. So this is probably, I wonder if it's the September issue. Probably.
I would think so.
Yeah, it probably comes out early, just like cars do. But yeah. You can get your 2026s, October or something. Anyway, so that's it. We got Fishman and we got Chris Harrington. First hour is all us. We do have various bits of sports news. from around the globe and including down there at the University of Memphis. Ryan Silverfield talked yesterday, gave a little bit of, honestly, there was one burst of bad news. Some injury news. We'll get to that, I think, in the next segment. But what I wanted to talk about first was Sam Hardiman has two stories over at the Daily Memphian, which I would urge you to read. Sam will be on with us, I think, tomorrow, although I know he's out of town, so it's possible he may have to miss tomorrow. But he has two very important stories about the Grizzlies and the lease negotiations. Let's just take a big picture, Jeffrey, real quick. In terms of things that worry you about Memphis, how prominent is the future of the Grizzlies?
The most.
The single most.
Yes.
I think it is for me, too. Because I don't, like, I have a little worry about FedEx headquarters over the long haul, you know, but not based on anything except for Fred.
I think that is so far down the line.
I don't have any real worry about that. And I just saw Richard was just elevated to the board. Congratulations.
Yep.
That's significant as well. And then just generally, I would say the two things I'm worried about, but they go hand in hand, are the trajectory of the city. And then specifically the Grizzlies leaving, and they do, or staying or leaving, however you want to phrase it. And so I guess I'm more broadly worried about the trajectory of the city, but that incorporates everything. That's crime. That's prosperity. That's the health of neighborhoods. That's the health of downtown. That's the nature of schools. That's people deciding to move here. It's creating a vibrant, wonderful community in which people want to live and in which people of all demographics can prosper. And so, of course, that's my biggest concern. But my biggest specific concern is whether the Grizzlies stay or leave, honestly. And for the longest time, ever since they came here, I was the person telling you, writing column after column after column after column after column, saying they're not going. Like this notion that we shouldn't build the FedEx Forum because they're going to leave once they're only going to be here for 3 years. It was always stupid, fear-mongering, played into the innate insecurities of Memphis and Memphians, and it was always ridiculous. And so I would bat it down at every turn. And it was ridiculous before they came. It was ridiculous 2 years in. It was ridiculous 5 years in. And it was ridiculous. Now, there have been moments of peril along the way, some small peril. One was when Para bought the team.
I was just going to say, ownership changes in general do.
Right, they create some uncertainty.
Right.
And when, and you recall, there was another, Steve Kaplan was the other owner who was vying to buy, who bought the team along with Para.
Para didn't have enough cash on hand, and so he had to
scramble around, and he got but then after a while there was a buy sell agreement. I think that's what they call it, but maybe not. That's not my area of expertise.
I just remember there being something like a strike.
Whereby at some point they had to decide whether they're going to buy out the other person.
Correct.
In other words, they weren't going to go forever alongside on parallel paths, and so there came a moment when Para had to decide. Am I going to buy out Kaplan or am I going to buy or let Kaplan buy my shares? Because this was built into the agreement when it was sold from Heisley. And
if I recall, there ended up being a third.
Yeah, there was another
unknown
Strauss,
bidder.
Daniel
yeah.
Strauss. And anyway, so there was there was some fear about that.
Yeah.
Because Para had to buy out Kaplan at the new price of what the Grizzlies were worth then, not. You know, this wasn't what
it
they
was
were.
It was evaluation.
Right. It was evaluation. And I'll be honest, people didn't think Kaplan was particularly devoted to the Memphis market. People thought if Kaplan ended up with the team, they might have been yanked out. So I'm not saying there wasn't some peril all along, but Robert Para has proven to be an excellent owner. And he stepped up, he bought out Kaplan, and he has never had a single whisper of moving the team. There's not been demands. There's not been threats. There's been nothing. Not only that, in 2020, built into the original lease, which goes through 2029, there was something called an early termination trigger. And basically, early termination clause. And basically, if the Grizzlies fell short of certain attendance thresholds, it gave Para the right to terminate the lease early, or the city could step up and buy a gazillion tickets, right, to make up for the shortfall, which the city was not going to do. They're not going to be in the ticket buying and then redistributing business, et cetera. So at that point, again, 2020, Para could have said, hey, man, there it is right there in the lease, the early termination clause. I'm triggering that. I'm out of here.
To be clear, that's what Stan Kroenke did with the Rams.
There you go. Is that true? That's how the Rams thing worked?
It was based on the venue, whatever it's now called. It used whatever, the TWA Dome. I think now it's like the Dome at the Americas. It had to be within, I believe it was like the top 10. It had to be like ranked within the top 10 stadiums.
I see.
In the NFL. And when it was...
So use this trigger to get the hell out.
Well, and also, hey, make sure you don't pay for any renovations. Make sure it doesn't... You can manipulate it to not get to code, and then he moved them to...
So, never been a whisper of it. But now, the lease is up. You know, the lease is up in 2029. We're getting, you know, we're more than halfway through 2025. It's getting to be time to sign a new lease. And what we know is that the money, such as it is, and this will get to the stories that we're talking about today in the Daily Memphian, the money's been accounted for. It's not like, well, we need to get more money from this place or that place.
Kind of.
We know where it's coming from, right? We know where it's coming from.
Allegedly.
And so we know where the money's coming from. And so, okay, what's the holdup? Like, why haven't you signed the lease? So to the extent there is worry now, I think it is grounded in a bunch of things. One, Memphis is the smallest market in the league, right? And that will always be a challenge. If you look right now, this isn't Sam's story. According to CNBC, it is the least valuable team in the league at $3.2 billion. Mind you, he bought them for... Now, of course, he then bought them again. Like, he had to buy the original thing, and then he bought them again. But this is all... It's a lot more billions than
yeah,
what he
paid for. I'm always unclear on market size. But it's the thing is, it's like... It's
one of the very smallest.
It's one of the negligible. It's like Oklahoma City, New Orleans, and Memphis.
CNBC says that the Grizzlies are the least valuable at $3.2 billion. The T-Wolves at $3.25. The Pelicans at $3.3. The Hornets at $3.35. And the Pacers at $3.4. Now, mind you, Portland was at $3.65, but just sold for $4.25. So what that valuation is when people actually get to bidding for teams, they pay more. But anyway, so it's a small market team. The lease is up. The league... There's a feeling that there should be a team in Seattle and maybe a team in Las Vegas. And the league has pretty much paused expansion for now. And so people start to think, well, if we're not having expansion now, we need a team in Seattle and a team in Las Vegas. What are we going to do there? And then the money's available. The lease hasn't been signed. And we know Memphis has had its issues, including with crime and fears about going downtown, and therefore attendance is not bad. Like will become more of a challenge, by the way, for a team that's not right now at a particularly high ebb, right? In terms of generating enthusiasm across the city.
Yeah.
So there's concerns. Why hasn't it been signed? What's going on? And I think those concerns are well-founded. I do think though, and this is critical. Again, my understanding is all along that Robert Parra does not want to move the Grizzlies. And the evidence is he could have. He could have. Not long ago, he could have moved the Grizzlies. And furthermore, you know, Sam has talked to us before about how Jason Wexler, the president of the Grizzlies, has led tours around the city,
yep,
right? Around FedEx Forum, showing all the things that needed to be cleaned up. We know about all the high-level negotiations that have been going on with the city. You're not leading tours to show what needs to be if you want to get the hell out, right? What you actually want then is you want the area around the city, around the arena, to continue to deteriorate, because it'll give you an excuse to get the hell out.
We've all seen Major League.
You're not leading tours if your goal is, so I really do not believe at all for a moment that their goal is to get out. I think their goal is to get something that's workable. And not only workable, that's workable for the city too. Like I it's kind of amazing that at a time when Oklahoma City is getting a new $1 billion arena.
Publicly funded.
I think they are kicking in 50 grand. I think
that was 50 million. 50 million. 50
million. I'm sorry, 50
million. The Bennett family was very generous.
I think 50 million. But that, again, all these numbers are.
Might have been, honestly, it might have been 25.
But it was 50 in the stories I read, but $1 billion public money.
And they're moving ahead with that, trying to build the tallest building in the United States.
And then you've got Portland, which was just sold. And the understanding is the same guy who owns Carolina in the NHL, Tom Dundon. And the understanding is they need a new building.
Correct. And they were supposed to, like, they had plans to renovate.
They were going to renovate, but now that, they might going to get a new building. If you're in a small market, listen, if you're in Golden State, it's a different deal. But if you're in a small market in the NBA, the general rule is you have to build new buildings. And
even New York.
The other place is, well, San Antonio wants a new building now.
Yep.
San Antonio wants a new building now. New building.
And new location too. Like, and not across the street from their, not,
and
not
so
in the
has Para asked for a new building? No, he has not asked for a new building. Have there been any demands? No, there have been no demands. It's really kind of extraordinary. And I think you have to stop and appreciate that as you think about all of this. He would still like the lease to be signed. I would still like the lease to be signed. I would like to not be nervous about this. And so here comes the story from Sam Hardiman. Terrific reporting from Sam. And if you have fears, there are things in here to feed your fears. If you are glass half full, there are things in here that will help you feel optimistic. So let's just go to the lead. Here you go, Jeffrey. The city of Memphis and Memphis Grizzlies and the Memphis Grizzlies have a plan for spending $550 million on renovations to FedEx Forum and an understanding of a long-term agreement to keep the team in Memphis beyond the 2028-2029 NBA season, according to public records and multiple people familiar with the matter. Well, that's good, right? They got a plan for how they do it and an understanding of a long-term agreement.
Yeah, I would say in general, the positives on that are there's documentation of working together.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have the plan. Correct. They literally have a plan. That's good, right? They got a plan.
Uh-huh.
They don't even seem to be fighting over the plan. I mean, I'm sure there's still negotiations going over the plan. But the next sentence, the city and the NBA franchise have discussed a renovation funding proposal that would minimize the amount of public money at risk if the Grizzlies left town before the end of a second long-term lease. Well, that's a little scary.
Yeah, for a couple of reasons. Number one, you can make the argument, well, do you have the money?
Well, so what, and now what goes on, the story, and Sam goes into a lot here. He goes, why a lease hasn't been signed, and he talks about the condition of the Grizzlies neighborhood, which is something we've talked about before, right? The fact that they're really worried about the, as you would be. And in fact, he has someone, a source who says, one of the sources the Daily Memphian talked to for the story compared the Grizzlies situation to a long-term tenant in an apartment building. I believe that's a metaphor we've used about 19 times. Don't you think? If you were signing a long-term lease in an apartment building, wouldn't you want to know what the building was going to be like?
Yep.
Right? And then it goes into all of this stuff. It goes into the crime. It goes into the possibility of expansion and relocation and all of that. But basically, it also goes into the financing options here and how it's going to work. And what's very clear.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Is instead of just saying to the Grizzlies, here's $550 million, go knock yourself out, or like Oklahoma City did, here's $1 million, go build yourself a new arena.
A billion dollars?
Yeah. $1 billion. Thank you. The B makes a difference.
Yeah.
Make a difference?
I think if it were just $1 million, we could probably cover that one.
What's going to happen is they are going to pay out the money over 7 years, and it will be spent as the money comes in. Here are the sources, according to Sam, of the money that will be spent. $230 million in cash from the state of Tennessee, $20 million in expected interest from the state's money, $147.5 million in sales tax collected from NBA activities, estimated that's $5 million annually throughout 25 years. So that's a 25-year income stream that's going to be coming in. $100 million from...
That's also a projection.
Yeah. A lot of these are projections. $100 million from 1% of Shelby County hotel motel tax throughout 25 years. These are projections, you know. $40 million from 0.5% of the city's hotel motel tax throughout 25 years. And $12.5 million in non-NBA sales tax collected at the arena. All of this projection. Again, estimated at $500,000 a year through 25 years. So... the idea is, here I'll read from the story again. With those limitations, the Grizzlies, with the city and county, agreed to a financing structure last year. That plan lengthened the renovation timeline to 7+ years, potentially, but also opened the door that the city, county, and Memphis and County, Shelby County Sports Authority may never have to borrow a large sum against the money, instead spending it on an as-needed basis. So there you go. Some of this is just reads like a financing story, right?
Yeah, I guess I'll raise my hand here. Nobody does it like this.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So what's interesting is, you want the good news or the bad news? The good news, people, is this. The Grizzlies have a plan with the city for going forward. there seems to be largely agreement around that plan.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? Furthermore, they're not going to have to borrow a huge amount of money and therefore pay a huge amount of interest on that money. And for a city that has incredible challenges and no excess of cash hanging around, it enables them to pay for this in a way that minimizes their commitment, their risk, and all of that. Like, they can pay as you go, right? It's a layaway plan here. I'm going to pay for this as we go, as opposed to just, and so in that way, it minimizes the impact on the city. It minimizes the financial risk to the city, and it shows an incredible amount of flexibility on the part of the Grizzlies for being willing to do this. So, okay, that's the good news. That you are you down that that's the good news?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think anything in that logic is unreasonable.
Right. The bad news is that it was embedded in that sentence. It creates less risk for the city if the Grizzlies leave early, but it creates more opportunity for the Grizzlies to leave early. Here's the truth. If you give the Oklahoma City Thunder $1 billion to go build a stadium, you know what you get in return?
The Thunder.
You get a lease for that. I think it's through 54 that they are just locked in, right? Yeah. So you get a lease that keeps the Thunder where they are for the, just like, for example, now, again, there was a escape clause in the last lease, but pretty much it was ironclad for 15 years or something, for 15 years, I think it was, the lease, the current lease. And then after that, yeah, there were some thresholds, but it was a pretty damn good lease. Like, it's one of the reasons I was able to all along say they're not going anywhere. This structure is much more fluid in terms of enabling the Grizzlies to ultimately leave in the course of, because you're not, listen, if you're giving them $1 billion, you can say, sign that ironclad lease. If you're saying, listen, we're going to give you $80 million and then $40 million and then $60 million and then whatever, you're kind of saying, all right, we're going to see how this goes. Isn't that the fear? So it is good news on the one hand, and it is a little nerve-wracking on the other hand, right?
I view it as they've bought themselves time.
Well, and in that way, if we're being honest with ourselves, isn't it sensible? Like, if you are Robert Pera, and we've established he does not want to take the team out of here. I really do believe that. He doesn't want to screw over Memphis. He has so much money. One of the great things about Robert Pera is he has so much money. He's like Jerry Jones, whose business is the Cowboys, and he's got to maximize how much he makes off the Cowboys, right? His business is ubiquity. He has roughly 18, 20 billion, whatever, something. He's got billions of dollars, and he is so rich. It is not really about squeezing every last dollar out of the Grizzlies. And that's the good thing. But if you were Robert Pera and you had seen the trajectory of the city over the last 5 years, isn't it fair to say, okay, let's see how this goes? Like, we are emerging out of COVID. We know COVID was devastating in terms of crime rates, in terms of the impact on young people, in terms of what it did to what had felt like it was an increasingly vibrant downtown. Let's see. And so to that extent, I think the interest of the Grizzlies and the city align here, which is everyone wants and everyone understands that downtown has to get back to thriving, right? And not only that, the Grizzlies they're not just sitting back and saying, you guys, we got to get back to thriving. They are saying, we are willing to take a hand in a heavy hand, let's be honest, in improving downtown and in the area around the neighborhood. But yes, this is much more open-ended. What is suggested by Sam's story is a lease that is much more open-ended, that if the city recovers and things go well, you can imagine the Grizzlies being here for the next 30 years. But if things don't go well, you can imagine a parting. Isn't that what you're getting out of this?
Yeah. I mean, to me, I think the problem that I struggle with all this is I'm from here. I've lived here my whole life. Like, downtown's never really been like the premier destination.
No, but it, listen.
But there have definitely been times where it's better than others.
When the Grizzlies were rolling, if you look back at the playoff series in the heyday, no one was like, I don't want to go see the Grizzlies play the Thunder or the Clippers because downtown is dangerous. I don't recall that on weekend nights. I don't recall that on, it has always been true. White flight has been around here for forever, but there was a period in the.
Well, maybe, Sam even notes it in the story. I can't remember if it's the second story or I don't even know which one's the first, but in the financing story, it includes a huge part of Grizzlies tickets and gate has always been getting suburban, like the suburban money.
Right. Well, no. And let's be honest. They need people to. But it's not like the Grizzlies aren't the only ones here. They need. Every downtown restaurant needs people to come downtown. Downtown has ebbed and flowed. And again, you've been here longer than I have. I got here in 96. But you hear the stories about what it was like when the Rendezvous was the only place that was open down there, right?
Oh, yeah.
They were either coming to the Rendezvous or what was the other one? They were lost. So then it was in the 2012 or 11, it was a very different downtown. It was kind of cool. It was.
The 2010s, in my opinion, is the peak of in my lifetime.
And what we are seeing is, you know, I know people don't want to acknowledge this, but we are seeing the numbers of crime go down, and they have put an enormous emphasis on, you know, on around the arena, changing that. But they need people to. They need. I guess here's my point.
Well, I want to take that on because I had this thought when we were at Smoke Slam in May.
Uh-huh.
One of the challenges, in my opinion, is when people decide they're not going downtown, you have to figure out, there has to be some type of motivation
that gets them
to go downtown.
Give it a chance again.
We all went down to Smoke Slam, and everyone came away with the same thing. And yes, it was pristine weather. The river looked beautiful. Right. Like, it was awesome. But everyone kind of came to the same conclusion, wives included. This is nice.
Right. Yeah. No, like I do think, I mean, we can talk to Sam about this tomorrow. I do think if you just look at the crime numbers downtown, the fear of downtown is much larger than the problem downtown.
Correct.
The problem
downtown.
Does that
mean there's a zero problem? No, but it.
No.
Like everyone came to the same conclusion of like, we should do this more. Now, I also think this is another NBA problem. They always want to point out, well, it's just crime downtown. No one wants to go. They have a problem with getting people to spend money to go to regular season games. I know the Grizzlies focus on this.
There are other problems, honestly. It's not just getting people to spend money to go to games. It's people who've spent the money to go to games to actually go to the games. That's the other thing.
Yes.
They've got a challenge there, too, that I've heard from many people. And so I guess my point is, listen, this story in the Daily Memphian today is it's good news and bad. You know, it's good news that they seem to be on track to reach an agreement. It's bad news in that it's not going to be an agreement that lets us forget about this for the next 30 years, right? It doesn't feel like it's going
to
be.
To me, like the actual bet, because I agree, in general, I come away slightly more optimistic than I was before I read it, in the sense of it does seem to me there's actual good faith of let's try to make this work.
I don't see how you can doubt that, honestly.
Correct.
And as someone who's, I don't see how you can doubt that there is good faith on, and both good faith dealing with a situation that is really difficult, honestly. Like, it's not a rich city. Like, what if the Grizzlies, what if you could get a 30 to 40 year lease and all you had to do was build them a new $1 billion building? The city would say, we can't do that.
That, to me, the concern is not the desires. The concern is the functionality, because when I read, okay, this is how they're trying to do it, we can all acknowledge that is what almost every person that does finance would say, okay, that's a good idea. Like that's being prudent. That's being smart. You're using taxpayer money. Like you're being smart. The problem is that's not how these things get financed.
What I do hope is that, here's the thing. If, well, way back, way back when the city was trying to get a major league franchise.
Which time?
Forever. And what people would do anything to get a major league franchise. They would line, they'd go to exhibition games. They'd, you know, put down season ticket deposits for teams that didn't exist. They'd anything to get an NFL team.
Big Jeff had Chicks tickets, whatever. Right. And then remember before AutoZone was built when the Redbirds played at Tim McCarver? Yeah.
So I guess what I hope is that this moment of uncertainty, now you have a major league team. We're here. You know, you have a major league team. The freaking Memphis Grizzlies are going to be playing in Berlin and London. It's the Memphis Grizzlies with Ja Morant, one of the most exciting players in the league. Yes, he's had his troubles.
I was saying, but well, hopefully he's playing that game.
With Ja and Jaren have both, like, they're, you know, both on. Like, what you hope is that this uncertainty, at least what I hope is, causes a sort of a re-embrace on both parties, honestly. The city of the Grizzlies and the Grizzlies of the city. I don't think that again, I think the Grizzlies have acted in extraordinarily good faith. Mm-hmm. And I think Robert Parra has been a fabulous owner. I don't really think that their way of communicating with the city is effective. That just communicating through their own social media and letting the players talk. Like, you've got an owner who doesn't talk, and I don't care. Like, I don't care that he's not courtside. But then you've got a GM who only talks very sparingly, a team president that never talks, basically. You didn't need Michael Heisley answering my phone call every day. And, you know, but who talks for, who rallies the crowd, who rallies the community on behalf of this team?
I mean, they kind of have, granted, they're not alone in the NBA in this, but they've kind of taken, like, the Silverfield approach where the wins will bring it. And it's like, okay.
Yeah. No, it's the old, like, evidently, I didn't see this, but Boise came in and studied Grind City Media to see how it's done, whatever else. And I'm just telling you, if that's how you think you're connecting with the community,
George pointed this out.
How many even people knew that season tickets were, that individual tickets were on sale Friday?
Until you pointed out, like, I just assumed they were always on sale, but, like, I didn't know that. Like,
there was no big.
No.
Season, no big tickets on sale, no big, you know, no, like, on every TV station, on every radio station, on every, like, you.
As much as I want to gripe and complain about them, because I got plenty that I can do, they're not alone. I mean, George pointed out, did you see the Browns are doing their own inside the quarterback room of the quarterback battle? Like, it's an in-house media thing. Like, everybody's just going to this.
Well, and I actually think two things about that, and we're going on too long. I think doing that makes all the sense in the world. You have lots of resources. You've got more resources. You can access whatever. But do that to the exclusion of, particularly in a city like Memphis, where we're kind of slow adopters, to do it to the exclusion of traditional media seems crazy to me. Like, to do it, to give people more and more access and more stuff, I'm all for that. Like, I look at my Buffalo Sabres embedded videos and whatever else. I watch that. I like the access to the team. But to do that at the exclusion of, I think, and particularly in a city like Memphis, which is not exactly, you know, a San Francisco in terms of being cutting edge media, I struck me as misguided.
No,
but whatever.
I agree with you on
my
that.
I don't really want to get into that. My point is that there has been, this has been an incredible success story from the skepticism that existed when they came here, when there was, it's never going to work. They've been here. This is year 25. They have redefined Memphis. They have redefined how Memphians think about themselves. I don't think we exaggerate how important the Grizzlies have become to the city. Do you?
I think if you lose the Grizzlies, it is psychologically more devastating. Like, when you asked about, like, FedEx and whatnot, right. I think FedEx has a lot of more systems in place, like,
right,
that make it much more.
But
psychologically, I think
the downside of losing them would be awful. But just having them here, focus on them, has been transformative.
100%.
And so, I just want, if there is uncertainty that you feel over this, I don't know. I think it's time to re-embrace the Grizzlies, and I think it's time for the Grizzlies to re-embrace the city and to realize that. And in the end, I guess what this agreement would do is really underline that we're all in this together. And we are all in this together. It's not something where you're just locked in and we're going to hope, you know, whatever. We are all in this together and we need the city to prosper. And then the Grizzlies will prosper. But that's a complicated picture. You can read the stories. There's multiple stories from Sam Hardiman at the Daily Memphian. We've gone on too long. We'll take a break. We'll talk about this again with Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. It's Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Black Friday? More like Black Friday. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
If you're looking for a place to go eat this weekend, it's going to cool down. Head off to Raging Cajun, right there, 2740 Bartlett Road in Bartlett. Really convenient for me. I was in East Memphis, took Claire and I 7 minutes to get there or so. Mason Jambon's from Louisiana and wanted to create a place that felt like the neighborhood places in Louisiana, and that's what he has done. They got a great patio. And the food is just sensational. I have a weakness for po' boys. I love a po' boy. What's your favorite po' boy, Jeffrey? What would you go?
I like the debris. So like kind of the roast beefy one.
That's the classic.
Yeah.
I usually go oyster. I go oyster or sometimes mix oyster sausage. Here I had the andouille sausage po' boy. The oyster, sometimes shrimp, oyster and shrimp. Here I had the andouille sausage po' boy, which was sensational. I got to tell you though, the bread pudding, unbelievable. Just unbelievable bread pudding. Also got the Houdette catfish, fried catfish, topped with crawfish etouffee. It's
Cajun queso.
It's not too. Oh yeah, the queso was fantastic. It is not too formal. It's not. It's just neighborhoody. It's great. You sit out there, have a cold one, have a po' boy. It is Raging Cajun, 2740 Bartlett Road in Bartlett, Cajun901.com. All right. We do have other matters to discuss, Jeffrey, and then we'll resume this conversation with Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Then we got Fish on Friday on Tuesday after that. Memphis Tiger coach Ryan Silverfield talked to the media yesterday.
Whoa, hang on. We got some breaking news.
What? Whoa.
The Colts are naming Daniel Jones their starting quarterback.
Holy smokes. I was guessing just the opposite.
I would have thought when we talked about it yesterday.
Anthony Richardson's looked good. But you said Daniel Jones threw a dime. That was enough.
That was enough to convince some. Some might have even said it was a Danny dime.
It was a Danny dime. This seems dumb to me.
Listen, I always felt like I was never as negative on Daniel as a lot of people. I still thought the smart thing to do is play Anthony Richardson. You can't play him anymore.
Until you can't anymore.
Anthony Richardson must be the least popular player in the Colts locker room.
You think it's locker room?
Yes. I think that... Remember
that? He asked out,
which I still have never seen a quarterback do. I think the locker room is just done with him.
So what happens to Anthony Richardson?
I mean, he's too talented. He's gonna get another shot somewhere.
Shots.
I mean, like let's also be clear: is Daniel gonna finish the season?
Right. Right. No, they'll probably both play. It's funny. There's a Barnwell piece up at ESPN. Five teams that are going to lose more games this year. I haven't actually consumed it.
So we had the five teams that were going to win more yesterday, and then today's the who could decline.
Five teams that are going to lose more. Did you see which they are? Don't read if you haven't.
I saw it this morning.
Well, the Colts are one of them.
Yep.
The Colts, the Chiefs, the Commanders, the Lions, and the Vikings. Now, four of those teams are teams that you would have said have overachieved, got the most out of themselves last year. It's certainly in the regular season, right?
Particularly last season.
Chiefs won all those one-score games. The Commanders, holy smokes, where did they come from? The Lions, great season. Honestly, and I don't know that they're going to lose more games because they're going to be fortified defensively. Obviously, they're coordinators. And then the Vikings, those teams got about as many regular season wins as were possible given that roster.
Particularly also when you consider last year, the NFC North played the NFC West, and everybody coming into the season is like, oh, the West is loaded. Well, then it turned out with injuries and whatnot, West was very, very bad.
But would you have said the Colts?
Probably not.
How many did the Colts win last year?
I think they won 9, or did they win 8? They won 8. But, that would not have been top of mind.
I would not have identified them as a team that's definitely descending.
Yeah.
Because they were if they felt like such a mess last year, that, but anyway, well, there you go. Daniel Jones named starting quarterback for the Colts. So do we have battles still? We got New Orleans.
So New Orleans, although it seems like it's going to be Tyler Shuck there. We got Flacco yesterday.
We just got Flacco named. Flacco was named yesterday. That to me made all the sense in the world. I think we knew that was what was going to happen. He was good 2 years ago for him, right? I mean, he was good 2 years ago for him. And so now it doesn't help if they're in the draft pick business. I don't think that's the right choice, right? If he will help them win games that they would not win if they started one of their rookies. And so they traded down in this year's draft to get more draft capital. If they were in the draft pick business, Joe Flacco is not the right choice. If they're in the winning games business, and given that they have a head coach who probably has to win games at this point, maybe a GM too, probably the right choice.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. I'm also not sure Flacco wins you that many games. He probably wins you more than the rookies would.
I think more than the rookies.
That's fair to say. But Flacco, remember the Colts turned to Flacco last year. That didn't solve anything.
No.
But I think you're right. Bills have their quarterback. Dolphins have their quarterback. Pats have their quarterback, Jets have their quarterback, Ravens, Bengals, Browns now, Steelers now, Texans, Colts now, Jags, Titans, Broncos, Chiefs, Raiders, Chargers, Cowboys, Giants, Eagles, Commies, Bears, Lions, Packers, Vikings, Falcons, Panthers, Saints is the one, but it seems like it's Shuck. And then Tampa obviously does, Arizona does, Rams do, Niners,
everyone does,
Seahawks,
I mean, you can argue there will be quarterback changes.
Yeah, but in terms of who's going to be their week one starter,
Week one starter is the only one that's out there is New Orleans. The if you were to project, which of those week one starters won't be starters, and not because of injury, because something will happen. And there that you go to the Giants first, right?
I think so, yeah.
Will not be the long-term starter. Browns might be another, though.
I mean, I guess you could say the Browns.
Will give the rookies a chance at some point. One of the rookies a chance at some point, you would think.
I mean, I guess I've still somewhat flagged the Falcons. If Penix gets off to a bad start and they are desperate to win a playoff, to get to the playoffs.
I could see that, but that's just because of the nature of the quarterback who's behind him and because they want to win. The classic example is you've got an old bridge quarterback and youngster behind him. When is that youngster going to play?
Right.
And so you got a bad team that you know is going to lose enough games that at some point they will let him just be looking to the future.
Yeah.
And so that's what's going to happen in Cleveland, and that's what's going to happen in New York.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Back to the Memphis Tigers. Ryan Silverfield talked yesterday. And listen, there's not a lot of names you might recognize on this team anymore because, like, they turn everything over, right?
Especially on defense.
But one of them is Cortland Marsh.
Yeah.
Who started out last year injured. I think it was a wrist.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if it was broken arm or broken wrist.
But... came back, played the last four games, and was terrific, including in the win over Tulane. He was the American Conference Defensive Player of the Week. Like, that's how good he was. And we learned yesterday that he has suffered a knee injury and was likely, Ryan Silverfield said, was likely to be a defensive captain. And instead, he is now lost for the season. So that kind of stinks. That was bad news. Memphis Tigers basketball team added a big man. Do you have any from Stephen F. Austin?
He was originally, so he was at UCF for 2 years.
UCF.
Stephen F. Austin last year didn't have a ton of production, but he did get minutes and he adds depth at the
bench. He's from Guinea.
Originally,
but,
yeah.
But played high school ball in Canada.
Yeah.
And he's, let's be honest, he's a big guy who can maybe soak up some minutes, but you don't, it does not seem to be a.
It felt to me like it was a depth add.
Another.
Yeah.
Like, let's get some big guys and throw it at this, at the wall here and hope that one of them sticks, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he played 2 years for UCF in the Big 12.
Like, he's so, played minutes.
He's played minutes. Not many minutes. He played against Memphis, by the way. I think he's played 8 minutes against Memphis when he was at UCF. 2 points, two rebounds, and one block. We always say that Penny Hardaway likes to recruit players that he's played against.
Yes.
Normally, that you would think they would have players that would have lit him up a little more than this one did. And then one other little piece of news. Did you see the NBA is... NBA is working with the books, the sports books, to limit prop bets.
Yep.
Have you seen this?
Yeah.
And this obviously goes to, because if you're an NBA player who's tempted to screw around here a little bit, take a little money and screw around, the easiest way to do it is on individual prop bets, your minutes. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say I'm sick after 2 minutes. So get your wagers in, right? I mean, that's literally the easiest way to do it.
Yeah.
And so they're just saying, we're not going to do that. We can do season long preps or prop, you know, we can do, but that does that seem sensible to you? And does it seem like it will have an impact to you?
So do I think that is a reasonable request from the league and the union? I do. Do I think it's practical? No.
I mean,
I guess what you can always do is like, hey, maybe we shouldn't have prop bets on the eighth guy. But most books, I mean, because it is, most books limit the exposure on those in general. So the reason like we've had these big, the reason why these bets got flagged is because when somebody's putting like 10 grand on, you know, Jontay Porter's over unders, that triggers something. That's not like a common bet. But like, do I think it would help? I don't think it would hurt. I don't know if it actually like solves anything. Like, is in the end, like if you're willing to sit there and tell your buddies, hey, bet on me, like that's the bigger issue.
All right, we're gonna take a break. We got Chris.
One last thing, Jeff. We did get the PGA Tour schedule. The FedEx St. Jude Championship will also be a playoff event next year. So
there
same you go. Exact same.
Oh, that's good news too. All right, we're gonna take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.